KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 41 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be sunny and windy today, a high of 73. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. There is a fire weather watch in effect for wind and low humidity this afternoon for Harrison, Shelby, Pottawatomie, Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, and Page counties. And a red flag warning this afternoon for extreme fire condition dangers in Sac, Crawford, and Carroll counties in our listening area. In the news, two people were arrested on drug charges early this morning in Creston. According to the Creston PD, 22-year-olds Eli Will of Creston and Austin Hancock of Bedford were arrested at around 12:20 a.m. following a traffic stop on Highway 34. Both men were charged with possession of marijuana. Will faces an additional possession of drug paraphernalia charge. Both men were later released from the Union County Jail after posting $1,000 bonds. Police in Red Oak say a man wanted on a valid Montgomery County warrant for a sex offender registry violation first offense was arrested Wednesday morning. 33-year-old Ryan Michael McDougall of Red Oak was taken into custody a little after 9 a.m. at 106 West Coolbaugh Street in Red Oak. His bond was set at $2,000. McDougall was convicted in Webster County of sexual abuse in the third degree in March of 2003 when he was 20 years old for having contact with a female between the ages of 14 and 17. A member of the city council in Avoca has resigned. The Daily Nonpareil reports Councilman Fred Miller resigned during a meeting held Tuesday. When asked why he resigned, Miller told the paper his reasons were personal and he declined to elaborate. City Manager Clint Victor said if Miller's resignation is accepted, there will either be an election to fill the spot or the council will make an appointment. The city administrator in a western Iowa town has been placed on probation after pleading guilty to assaulting his teenaged son. The Sioux City Journal reports 45-year-old Bradley Hansen, city administrator of Onawa, entered his plea Tuesday to one count of misdemeanor assault. Hansen was given probation for 1 year, a $100 fine, and an order to complete at least 10 hours of counseling. A criminal complaint filed with the Monona County Sheriff's Office said Hansen slapped his 15-year-old son, who slapped him back. Hansen then took the boy to the ground and slammed his head into the floor. Records show that Hansen's wife called police as the altercation occurred. Hansen remains with the city of Onawa. Senators in Iowa late yesterday had an often bitter debate over the future of care for Iowans with acute mental illnesses. A Republican from Northwest Iowa offered an alternative that said that mentally ill patients should be placed in the most appropriate and highest level of care possible. Senator Rob Hoag, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, scoffed.
Oh, and oh, by the way, maybe you're voting because you want more patients to go to Cherokee in Northwest Iowa.
One of the state's four mental health institutes is located in Cherokee. Senator David Johnson, a Republican from Ochedon, snapped back.
Shame on you, Senator Hoag, for thinking that I'm trying to move everybody to Cherokee. We're talking about people here, not politics.
The debate was sparked by Governor Branstad's move to close the state-run mental health institutes in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant. Senator Mark Shelgren, a Republican from Ottumwa, favors keeping both facilities open. But Shelgren says legislators are arrogant if they think they know better than the professionals where mentally ill patients should be placed.
State mental health institutes are not the only place to get quality care for patients.
Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, suggested Republicans in the Senate were searching for a fig leaf
to cover up for the governor's bad decisions in his proposal to close Clarinda and Mount Pleasant. And it's unfortunate that you all have to defend that. And I'd have to say you're not doing a very good job of it.
After that comment, Republican senators retreated into a private meeting for 2 hours before emerging shortly before 6:30 p.m. Senators passed a bill that called on officials to keep the Clarinda and Mount Pleasant mental health institutes open and accept patients through June 30th. Another bill that passed on a 29-19 vote called for keeping the MHIs open until a long-term plan was in place to ensure there is care somewhere for the most severely mentally ill Iowans. Senator Rich Taylor, a Democrat from Mount Pleasant, said legislators need to look out for the state's most vulnerable citizens.
In my opinion, this is one of the most important issues that we're going to face in this legislature this year or in years to come. We have to take care of these people. I beg you all to join with me.
Senator Mark Costello, a Republican from Imogene, represents the Clarinda area, and he made a plea to keep the Clarinda MHI open at least temporarily.
I've received letters from family members that have expressed that feeling and the fear that their loved ones may not survive the transfer. And so I just feel that this bill is important, that we want to make sure these patients are cared for.
Senator Liz Matthes, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, said the state's psychiatrists and executives from private hospitals say they're not ready to pick up the slack once Clarinda and Mount Pleasant close.
Turning off the lights at a mental health facility is not a transition plan.
On Tuesday, a Republican from Mount Pleasant lashed out at the governor's plan to close the Clarinda and Mount Pleasant MHIs. Representative Dave Heaton called it a radical move to close the state-run facilities, for the private sector was prepared to care for Iowans with severe mental illnesses. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday held a hearing on a proposed ordinance to readopt the Cass County Code, and the second reading of which was held during their meeting last week. Following the hearing, the board moved to readopt the code. They also conducted a hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2016 Cass County budget, which was subsequently adopted as well. In other business, the supervisors adopted the Secondary Roads Department fiscal year 2016 budget and acted on a recommendation from the County Compensation Board with regard to salaries for elected officers. Auditor Dale Sunderman reported the Compensation Board recommended a salary of $60,000 for the county attorney and $40,000 for the assistant county attorney, as well as a 4% increase in salary for the auditor, recorder, treasurer, sheriff, and supervisors, along with a $1,000 increase for the Board of Supervisors chairman. The supervisors, however, reduced the amounts by 25% for all but the county attorney and assistant county attorney and approved a 3% increase for the elected officers. The auditor, treasurer, and recorder will each receive a salary of $54,854, the sheriff $70,491, and the supervisors $28,632, with the board chair receiving the additional of $1,000 for a total of $29,632. The board also agreed to accept a bid from Odin Enterprises in Wahoo, Nebraska for sheet piling and piling for two bridges, number 247, and an extra bridge to be installed after July 1st. In the amount of $52,576. They also accepted a bid from Murphy Heavy Contracting Corporation in Anita for the bridge number 247 construction project in the amount of $98,650. And the board heard a request from Dave Chase with Nishna Valley Trails Association for $50,000 to go toward the development of the Troublesome Creek Connector Trail in Cass County. They took no action on the request at their meeting. Earlier, you may recall, we mentioned the City of Atlantic took under consideration a similar request for funds for the connector portion of the trail. On a related note, Supervisor Dwayne McFadden announced the Atlantic Lions Club will hold a pancake supper on April 16th, with the funds from your free will donation being used toward the connector trail project. Well, no serious injuries were reported in Union County Tuesday morning after the brakes failed on one of two trailers full of grain, causing the tractor pulling them to go out of control and roll into a ditch. The Union County Sheriff's Office at 62-year-old Stephen Gregory Wilson of Apton was driving a 1997 John Deere 8200 tractor, pulling two grain carts loaded with corn. The tractor and carts were going down a hill on 190th Street at around 9:30 a.m. Tuesday when the brakes on a cart failed, causing both trailers to pick up speed and swerve back and forth. The weight of the grain caused the tractor to enter the north ditch along with both trailers, which then overturned and dumped most of the 900 bushels of corn altogether they were carrying on the ground. Wilson complained of possible injuries but refused treatment or transport to the hospital. Damage from the crash amounted to $50,000. And the news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.